how many prayers we've heard that were answered tonight. Can you give me a count? Do you know? How many? Well, about nine. I think that's right. It's very important for you to treasure these things up in your heart. When you hear somebody share, God answered my prayer. And that should encourage your faith to do what?
Pray.
Pray more. Okay? Never cease. We began the year with big prayers. God's come through with many of those big prayers. And as I told you in the beginning of the year, some of them might not happen this year, but if you are faithful in prayer and you're fervent in prayer, God will answer those prayers. And many times He wants to know, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you know and are you confident that I care? And when you express that heart of faith, yes, I do. That amazes God. And so that's why we're doing this series. Let's transition into our lesson. If you have more faith news, don't keep it to yourself. Share it in the fellowship. And if it's really big, bring it next week. And raise your hand quick, loud, and you know, because I want to know. We all need to know about what God is doing. Amen? So we have a theme song with our series. Do we not?
Yes.
And I want to know, I have a question. Okay, do you like to move it?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to know. Do you like to move it? I do. I like to move my faith. God likes us to move our faith also. That's the purpose of this lesson. That's the purpose of Sunday. God wants us to move it. I hope you want to move it. And we're going to get honest tonight about, let's be honest, let's be real. Do you really want to move it? Do you really want to move your faith? Because we're getting the tools now. It's not a, you know, it's not this intangible and fictitious and, you know, mysterious thing. What do I need to do to move my faith? We have our memory verse here, right? Oh, it's your last chance. Who has it? Who's got our this week's memory verse? It's a long one. But blessed are those who went and conquered it. Okay, because you have it in your heart. What would you like to say to these people who memorized this verse? What can we say about them? Any idea?
I am the moving moment. I am the moving moment.
All right, they like to move it. It's obvious they like to move it, and memorizing the scripture does that. All right, let's read together. Okay? Aloud. Blessed are those who do not walk in the steps with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. They are like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is the Today's New Living, or New International Version. And I want to encourage you, take these scriptures into your heart, because they will increase your faith. And they will move your faith. And it'll be one step closer to growing your faith. I have the results of our survey that we took here. Remember week one of our series? And took all the cards together and basically went through all of them. What was number one? The number one, it was clear, number one thing that increased your faith according to our survey. Answer prayers. That's what did it. In this group, the number one thing. So what do we need to do? We need to pray more, and we need to talk about when God answers our prayers, we need to make a big deal out of it and share with each other. Because if God has answered your prayer, then you have the opportunity, as we found out in our survey, to increase someone's faith. And when God answers your prayer, it encourages and lifts your faith. But what if you don't pray specifically enough? and consistently ask, seek, and knock. What if you don't ask, seek, and knock? God can't work. He needs you to lift that up tirelessly, day and night, as we heard in Psalm 1, to meditate and to lift up prayer. And then number two, what else, according to you, according to the survey that you turned in? Number two was reading, hearing, inspiring scriptures. That lifts your faith. Okay, but not just listening, but hearing it. There's a big difference. Listening and hearing. Hearing means it goes in and it works. Okay, this is what you said increases or moves your faith. Then number three, this was on the survey, the number three answer of all of them. There were 31 categories, just so you have an idea. So there was variety. But these were repeated over and over again. A number of times. I have the results here if you want to come up and look at the results, the official results of our survey. The number three was fellowship. It lists our faith. You know, what if you don't go to church? You're not going to get the opportunity to lift your faith. You're going to stay the same. Fellowship. And then what if you just come in and walk out and you get no fellowship, no time together, no time to talk and express and get something. You know, like they do in a lot of churches. It's a race to the door to get in, and then it's a race out. Who can get out the quickest? What a mess. And that's why these people's faith is flatlined. But if you want to take care of your faith and move your faith, what do you need to do? Fellowship. Okay? Dream deep in the fellowship. And you may not be feeling like it tonight. Breakthrough. It's not about what you feel. It's about what's right. And then you'll see your faith will be lifted. As I shared on Sunday, there was one brother who walked into our all-night prayer. He did not look good. Walked in late. Didn't look good. You know what I mean? You can tell when somebody is not doing good. He walked in and just, you know, looking straight ahead, that gaze. And by the end of the night, because of the prayer and the fellowship and the refreshments were pretty good too. He was a different man.
Amen.
And he was so glad that he came. And he had to go at 6 in the morning the next day. He had to get up early and be somewhere at 6 a.m. And it changed his week. It changed his outlook. Then number four, this was a tie between all these things. A tie. Prayer, personal prayer, sharing your faith and giving your testimony. When you share your faith and you give your testimony, that's what the response was. It increases your faith. So what if you don't share your faith? What if you don't share your testimony, what God is doing and has done in your life? You can't increase your faith. This is according to you, not to me. This is not what I'm saying. This is what you said. Okay? I'm just the mouthpiece of what you said. Then the other tie was spiritual progress in our physical families. In other words, when our children respond to the gospel or make spiritual progress, it affects our faith. It moves our faith. And part of that, though, comes back on us. If you want to see your children make a move spiritually, what must you do as a parent? You've got to feed them. You've got to invest time, prayer with them, about them, and make sure they're here for the VBS. You know, it blows my mind. Well, they got school this week, and they got to get their rest. Yeah, but their faith and your faith won't change. You know, half hour of sleep, because they're going to stay up and run around anyway. Right? You know your kids. You know? They can't slow down. And it's just a half hour, maybe 45 minutes difference to increase and impress their faith. Okay, so this is your answers. Do you want to grow your faith? That's our question number one tonight. Faith in motion. I have the question. We've been talking about it for 3 weeks. We talked about it for the last two Sundays. Amazing faith. But the basic question that I have for you tonight is, do you want to grow your faith? And you got to answer that. I can't answer it for you. All I can do as the minister of the church is provide you the opportunity. You must choose. You must decide. Do you want to grow your faith? That's up to you. No one can force you. In the past, we tried. We tried to move people along. And it didn't work. They resented it. I resented it at times. We're not doing that anymore. We're not going to do that anymore. It's a choice. Everybody's got to make a choice. And some people are saying, well, I want the old school back. You know, I want someone to lay me out. You know, I want someone to just let me have it. You need to let yourself have it. You need to get in the front of the mirror and you need to rebuke yourself.
Right.
And you need to say, I am sick and tired of your lazy, indifferent attitude about God, about His Word, about quiet times, about coming to church, about being excited for God. You need to say that to yourself. I'm not saying it. You say it. You tell yourself. Sometimes we need that. You know, I remember I got indignant with myself at the beginning of the year about a few things. One of them was my physical condition. I just, I don't like what I'm doing. I just don't feel good. So I made some decisions. I rebuked myself. And I repented. And there's been a change.
You look good, man.
Well, amen, but that came from a rebuke. Came from me challenging myself. And there's times when we have to do that. And then sometimes we need those relationships with people that we're close to that can help us out, that it can encourage us. But no one's going to do it like you. Look at Jesus when he asked a paralytic. Okay? He was invalid. Couldn't move. Been in that condition for a long time. Look what Jesus said. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Isn't that kind of obvious? Why do you think Jesus would ask that question? Here's a guy sitting at the healing pool next to it, day in and day out, been paralytic for so long. Isn't that kind of a redundant question? But look at what the guy said. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Okay, now, what does that tell you about this man? Jesus' question is now valid. Do you want to get well? Because it's not about who's going in ahead of you. It's not about the circumstances around you. It's about you. Do you want to get well? And too often we imprison ourselves the same way. We say, there's this, there's that, I got my circumstance. And what does Jesus say to him? Get up. And that's what he's saying to you and I. Faith in motion. What do you need to do? Get up. Okay, get up. Stand up. Stand up now. Okay, stand up. It's that simple. It's that simple. Stand up in your faith.
Amen.
Do the same thing that you're doing right now, but with regard to your faith. Go ahead and have a seat. It's so important that you and I get up spiritually. That we get up from where we are and we say, I want to move my faith. I don't want to be a bystander anymore. I don't want to watch. I don't want to hear somebody else. I want to see God work in my life. And I want to move my faith. It's a precious thing that you and I have. Our faith. And let me tell you this. It's the only thing you will have on the last day of your life. When your health is gone and your breath is almost out, and your heart's about to stop, guess what you're going to have left? The only thing. Your wallet, your car, your cell phone, none of that stuff. Your bank account, none of that stuff is going to matter. The TV program that you've got to watch later tonight, none of that's going to matter. The only thing that you will be left with is what? Your faith, your confidence, your relationship with God. Because that's what you're going to reach out and you're going to go, God, Take me, help me, save me.
Amen.
Take me home with you. And if you got great faith, it's going to be a great step. But if you do not have great faith, it's going to be a rough night. And trust me, I've been in the emergency room visiting sick people and in the cubicle a couple spaces down, I've heard the cries of dying people. Don't let me die! Oh God, help me! In a loud voice. It literally sent goosebumps up my neck. The hair on the back of my neck stood up when I heard that. This is somebody facing death for real. And they're not ready. Well, how important is faith, brothers and sisters? This isn't a nice series that we're doing. Amazing faith isn't a, wow, I really like the teaching on Sunday. No, you have no idea how important this is to your life. When you face a crisis, when you face a real challenge, you may only have your faith left. If one of your children gets sick, if a loved one gets sick, that's when you're going to need your faith. And you need it every day, but you'll need it worse then. So this is very important. Jesus told them, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Walk in your faith. And that's what I want to encourage you to do tonight, to start walking in your faith. That's why you're here tonight. That is going to be our primary focus in the church. If you're tired of talking about faith, you might want to not come on Sunday. You might want to not come for a while. 10 years. This is all we're going to focus on. This is going to be our primary focus. And guess what? We're going to talk about it with your children.
Amen.
This is the primary focus because, as I shared 2 weeks ago, at every stage in life, we need faith. And there's ways to address faith. Little kids don't get it just, you know, out of the thin air. They get it because they're being taught and they're being directed in their faith. And that's what we want to do. That's what I want to encourage you to do. So get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Answer the question, do you want to move your faith? Do you want to grow your faith? And we talked about this on Sunday. I wanted to hit it again. Because these are our five, and we're going to talk about this a lot, our five springboards of faith in the church. Practical teaching, what you're getting tonight. How to grow my faith. What to do. What did we hear in our survey? What's the practical things that we like and move our faith? Answer prayer. The fellowship. Okay, you got some practical things to go on if you want to increase your faith. But practical teaching, providential relationships, you got to have them. And if you have a friend that wants to study the Bible, that wants to get, and if you're even visiting here with us, you're not going to do this on your own. You need people in your life. God uses people. He puts people in your life as He's done with mine. And I believe it's probably 100%. That somebody is always used to help us grow our faith. There may be an exception out there. But even the eunuch, as he was traveling along in the desert, God put somebody there, Philip there. Adam, it was random, but He used Philip. Providential relationships, He means God puts those people. We need relationships. How are your relationships tonight? How have they been recently? Because of work, because of life's busyness, have you compromised your relationships? Have you allowed God to work through people, or have you distanced yourself? You can't grow your faith without people in your life.
That's right.
I went over to Will's house last night for a quick visit, and the three of us, Jason and I and Will, we just prayed for a little bit. It was just a short visit. We prayed. Man, it helped my faith. It helped my faith. And I'm grateful for the people that I have, that I can just drop by and get a faith lift. Okay, how about you? Are you looking for that? Number three, private practice. Your quiet times. Your prayer times. Your offering. Yeah, the church needs your money. But guess who else needs to give? For whose faith? You do. And there's so many stories of people's lives who've been changed because they gave rather than kept. God bless them He took care of that. Private practices. But it's between you and God. Private practices. Pivotal circumstances. That means what we talked about on Sunday. Those crucial times in your life. The crisis. God uses them for good. But we have to have, again, this is a repeat. We need people in our lives to help frame. Okay? Frame that situation so we take it the right way and not get bitter and negative. And then a personal ministry. I want to encourage you. What's your personal ministry? What are you doing as a personal ministry? It could be for the church. It could be for the community. But you see yourself as an instrument. If you want to gain, these five areas are faith gainers. These are things that will help grow your faith. This is you and God and the interaction that happens. Okay, and this is back to us. What are you prepared to do to get a faith gain? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. I didn't put the scripture up there because it just barely fit on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. Look what it says. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. How long? What's the crown? What is the crown? Salvation. But what is salvation really about? It's being with God forever. It's a relationship. It's not a mansion. It's not that, you know, I get to play golf every day, 36 holes in heaven. You know what's going to make salvation wonderful, awesome? Is being with God face to face. That fellowship with Him and with each other. The praise, the joy. That's salvation. That's the crown. And it all comes back to our faith. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I ask you, what's Paul talking about here in this second part? Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. What's he talking about? What do you get from that? Go ahead, feel free to respond. Okay. Simpler.
He has a plan.
I'm sorry.
He has a plan.
He has a plan, therefore I have a plan.
Right.
Okay? A boxer. Is he just swinging?
No.
The good ones. The good ones go for right here and right here. They go for the jaw and they go for the gut. And they work both. They don't go for the back of the head. Because that's illegal. Okay? They don't go for below the belt. That's illegal. They have key points and positions. In karate, what do? They go for the pressure points. Right? And they know exactly which one. The neck. Oh. They give you the neck shot. Or they go for the eyes. I mean, it's just take the guy out.
Okay. Like he said, he's going after things specifically in his life that he needs to work on. But he's not aimlessly. He said that, I need my body and make it a slave so that after I teach others, I myself am not disqualified. So he's saying, look, this is what I need to work on in my life specifically. Whether it's humility, it's whatever God's commands are. He does have a plan to go after these things.
Yeah.
Change his life.
Amen. Why are you here tonight? Why are you coming on Sunday? Why'd you pray this morning? Okay. What's your objective? What's your plan for you? I can help you. I will help you. We will help you. brothers and sisters will help you, but you got to have a plan. Too often we go through life, and this is an area in our church where we're going to make strides to change. We want to get more and more laser focused in what we do and why we do it. So we won't walk around aimlessly, and then when the crisis comes, we go, I don't know why I've been doing this all along. Now then you'll be able to say, I'm so grateful I've been doing this so long because now I've got strength. I know what this is all about. I can handle it. God is with me. I have confidence. And so what I want to encourage you to do is have a plan. And what I see as our plan is our biggest need is faith. And that means our biggest need is our relationship with God that comes via faith. So I want to make it a plan for you. Grow your faith. Make that your objective. I want to grow my faith. But have a plan. And you got the five things on how to do it. You got them, five of them right here. Okay, how to springboard your faith. And you answered the question. You know, and the one before that. Here it is. Answered prayers. You know, you've got the tools on how to grow your faith.
So if I'm not a joyful person, I need to make a conscious effort. Like God said, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. If I'm not a joyful person, like my wife always says, well, get out of yourself. If I'm into myself, I got to make a conscious effort.
You do. You said it. She said it. That's strike one.
But yeah, and I was thinking, you know, okay, so what's my plan? Am I gonna today say, okay, you know what? I'm not feeling joyful, but I gotta make a conscious effort because you're really, and I just wanna feed you up. He's a great example. Every time I see you, you're like, you're up. And I know that you have to make a conscious effort to do that here. And I just want to say it's admirable, but all of us have to make that effort. And I think that's what Paul's saying.
Well, thank you. I do believe all of us have to have a very specific plan for our lives. I don't want you to be a follower here. God doesn't want you to be a follower here. Meaning, you know, I'm just here. You know, I'm just here. You got to take initiative and have a plan. And that is my goal, my lifelong, whether I'm here or not, whether you got a plan. You know where you're going. You know what you're doing. You know I'm on this. I'm on this quest. Faith. And then we just watch you. Wow. What happened to you? And you know, I talked about it on Sunday. Mike Mead, it's impressive.
Amen.
It's impressive. This young man has a mission.
Amen.
Okay? He wants to get married. That's all right. But the youth ministry, our kids, he really wants to see that ministry thrive. He really wants to take care of your kids. And he knows that he's got to be what he needs to be in order for that to happen. And Ayumi wasn't very fired up about being in the teen ministry, but she went to teen camp and boom. Okay? It's so important. It makes such a difference with everything you do. Either you're in it or you're not. And I see too many disciples who are just here, not here.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Well.
And so this is what Paul, he says, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. And you get yourself to do what is needed. Yeah. Discipline is not my strength. I think I do have ADD. Okay, we didn't even have the diagnosis when I was a kid. But my disciplinary file in elementary school was about that thick. I was always in trouble. I almost got kicked out of my elementary school for being in trouble all the time. This was very, very distracted. And I loved the fellowship. I didn't even know what fellowship was, but I loved it. So discipline, it's been hard. Still is. To focus. To stay focused. Every one of us have got our challenges. And what Paul is saying here, you've got to wrestle those challenges so that God can use you and help you to thrive. And you don't want to be like the invalid said, well, I can't get in the pool. I can't do this. And somebody always is beating me in the pool. And Jesus says, listen, we can fix this really quick if you'll do one thing. One thing is required. What is that? Get up and believe. You've got to believe. And Jesus always asked that question. Do you believe? In his hometown, he could do nothing. Because they didn't believe. If you want to get up and you want to walk and you want to thrive in your faith, you got to work at your faith. Amen? Yes.
Also, what he's saying there is that, like you said, you've got to believe. But if we don't make the first step, then he's not going to make the first step. And we really have to put our action towards having that relationship, building that relationship, focused on God, and allowing others to come in and help us. Because if we don't allow them to come in, if our arms are always crossed like this, then no one will ever feel like this. So we have to be able to open up and allow that to happen, that interaction. But it has to start first as a decision and then an action.
There it is. I don't have anything else to say tonight. I'm done.
Amen.
But here, what we talk about faith in motion. What stops our faith? What is a faith stopper? Okay, give me some. Raise your hand and give me some clear answers. What stops your faith, Mondo?
Unbelief
stops your faith, obviously.
Disappointment.
Worry. Worry stops your faith.
Being comfortable.
Okay. Indifference. Okay, stops your faith.
Fear.
Fear. Yes.
Sin.
Is a big faith stopper. Why? Because it hurts your relationship with God, which in turn hurts your faith. God is saying, trust me in this. You don't want to do that. That's what sin is. It's a warning from God. It's not a do and don't list to no having fun. I can't have fun. God doesn't want me to have fun. Sin is fun. No, it's not. It'll ruin your life and the life of people around you. There's collateral damage to sin. And it hurts your relationship with God. Basically, when we sin, what do we say to God? I don't trust you. I don't believe in you. Your word says this. Now, I understand. We're going to fall. We're going to sin. And that's why there's a net of forgiveness. Okay? But an ongoing sin. And a neglect to let sin get the best of us and take over our lives. That's serious business. That fractures your relationship with God. As it says here in Colossians. Colossians 1. I didn't put the scripture up there again. Just the content. It's Colossians 1 verse 21 through 23. Colossians 21 through 23. It says, once you were alienated from God. What? There's separation between you and God. No relationship. You were aliens from God. And you were enemies. It doesn't get worse than being an enemy of God. You're not friends. You have no relationship. You're going against each other. In your minds because of your evil behavior. But now that He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation, no one can say anything about you. No one can say to you, no, you're not worth it. No, you can't get up again. No, you're done. No one can do that. Because God's made you right. But what do you do with that? What do you do with this promise that He's made you right? He's cleared you of all accusation. If someone comes along and accuses you, He defends you. He said, no, no, this is my son. This is my daughter. I am with Him. He's with me. But what do we do with that? Faith does a lot with it. Faith walks. Faith builds confidence. Yes. Even though I have sinned, God made me right. And I can get back up again and again and again and again. Without blemish and free from accusation, if what? If you continue in your faith. Crucial. You have all this if what? Man, faith is so important, brothers and sisters. Our faith is everything. And you got to take care of your faith. You got to build, defend, protect, and work on your faith. Okay, we're going to provide the instruments and the tools and things like that, the inspiration. I'm going to try and give you as much as possible. I want to bomb you with tools for faith. But you got to grab it and continue in your faith. Established and firm means it's not easily moved. And do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. We not only want to take care of our faith, what else do we want to do as Paul did? Let's go out there and let's spread this gospel of faith. And people can tell when you have faith. I mean, what's an atheist going to say to your faith? This isn't about, and this is the difference. You can give all the evidences in the world that will not build your faith. It might help it a little bit. But Christian evidences don't help us with our faith. What helps us with our faith are those tools that we talked about. Knowledge does not replace knowing God. A relationship with God. Because, see, the atheist doesn't know what goes on with, you know, Fernando at a prayer night. And he prays for his wife with the brothers. And she's cleared. And she's good. And he goes, man, God, you're awesome. What's an atheist going to say to him? You know? He believes. He's got something personal. He's got something in him that's his. There's no Christian evidence that's going to do that. That's something deep. That's what Paul had, and he was willing to die for it. That's how confident he was. And let's close out. What was one of Paul's greatest strengths? And when you read the book of Romans, when you read his letters, it's clear to me what Paul's greatest strength was. He had a lot of faith. Tremendous faith. How do you explain him going through so many trials, so many arrests, being stoned, being beaten, being in prison? How do you explain that? And he gets up and keeps on walking. Most of us would go, forget this, man. It's not worth it. And he kept on preaching to the same people that mistreated him, that arrested him. Just like Jesus. Look what he says here. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend. Another example of the contender. Are you the contender? Will you be the contender for your faith? Will you keep your guard up? Will you throw a few punches for your faith? With all, now this is the awesome part, and I want to leave you with this because it's great inspiration. With all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. He's given you energy. Have you tapped into it? Are you tapping into the power of Christ, which is through the Holy Spirit? Are you praying for that power when you're not feeling it? I don't feel it all the time. And Wednesday's a hard day for me. It's lump day. You know, I get done with Sunday and it's a big day. And then, okay, what am I going to do Wednesday? Okay, what's next? Then this and then, you know. But what gives me the energy? What's going to give you the energy to fight on when it's hard and you're not feeling it and everything that's around you is going, no, it's not working, and you get the bills and it's not working and everything seems like it's going black and you get bad news after bad news after bad news. What will give you the strength? The Holy Spirit. That's the same power that worked in Paul. It's the same power that we see in brothers and sisters here in our fellowship. So I want to encourage you tonight to tap into the power. And that goes back to that private practice, you and God, in that private time where you're getting charged. And ask specifically, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the supernatural strength, the supernatural power. When you share your faith, you may not have all the answers, but somehow it comes out. And you go, did I say that? Did that really come from me? Yes. Okay? So that's all I have tonight. That's the end of our series, Faith in Motion, Part 3.